Okay, I am very excited to have Jason Potash on the line with me. Jason just had a rather spectacular product launch, a brand new product he came out with. And so I want to be talking to him about that. He used some very unique and new strategies in launching this product, had some spectacular success. Jason's got all kinds of insight on, actually he's a fantastic marketer, and so he brings a lot of, some great background to this, and so I wanted to talk to him about his product and about how he put it out in the market, and also some of the lessons learned. He definitely, I think, learned a few lessons and had some good takeaways, so I'm very excited to have Jason on the line with us.
Excited to be here, Jeff. Thanks.
So, Jason, tell me, just as a starter, tell me a little bit about your product.
Be happy to. The product we're talking about is called the Article Announcer Article Marketing System, and essentially it's an offline product, compilation of CDs, audio CDs, CD-ROMs, workbooks, and software. And basically what I wanted to do is to put together a system that really shows people from A to Z how to get involved with creating articles, outsourcing articles. And once you have those articles written, the process and the right and wrong way to optimize them, to use them within the search engines to get more traffic, boost your rankings, and ultimately get more people hitting your site, getting more visitors, clicking the order button and making more sales. And rather than just give someone a piece of software or give them an ebook or an audio CD, I really wanted to go full circle and make sure that I covered all the angles, right from the intro level stuff to the advanced level stuff, and then giving them the software that really helps them to automate that process and to make it easier to get their articles out there. And again, it's a proven strategy to boost traffic and get links and improve your page rank. So that's basically it in a nutshell. So physical product, product is $379 US, and again, three workbooks, a bunch of CDs, and that's sort of basically about it.
So your target market is definitely webmaster.
Yeah, it's funny because the product has a few different target markets. I mean, right now with the launch, I was primarily targeting the online marketers, if you will. People who have websites, obviously, who want to get more traffic to their websites. But there's all different types of sub-markets within that main market, I'm finding, and those are consultants, coaches, speakers, authors, trainers, and people that just need to get their name out there, get their website URL out there, get more people either picking up the phone or visiting their site or opting into their mini course or getting on their list. And really, the article marketing system provides, I think, the ultimate way to get all those bases covered using a proven low-cost method. So the market is very narrow, yet it also is wide in a sense where, as I mentioned, there's a few different sectors there that really find a lot of value in getting involved with producing quality content and using it to promote their business or site.
And you mentioned it was a physical product and it's $379 US. And obviously, this is a significant purchase for people. So it's not a slam dunk. So I think it made a lot of sense to put together, a more involved launch process than just throwing up a sales letter somewhere out there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about your launch process, how you originally envisioned doing what you did. I mean, because you had some very unique approaches here.
Well, obviously, I give partial credit to you. We had a chat several weeks before the launch and had a great hour brainstorming session on the phone line. And I had a pretty clear idea on what I wanted to do, but just through consulting with a few of my friends like yourself, it really helped to crystallize and solidify a lot of the ideas I had in my head and really just to put some different angles on the board. Basically, what I wanted to do is I wanted to have a series of events or a series of occurrences happen to really whet people's appetite, to prime the pump, to get them excited about the product, and without just sending them to a sales letter from day one, as you said. I wanted to slowly educate people, get mind share, have a paradigm shift within their current frame of thinking in terms of what's on their mind, what should be on their mind. Maybe there's issues and problems and stuff happening that they're not totally focused on, but how can I bring those issues to the foreground and make them real, and obviously, you know, get them a little bit uncomfortable about some of the things happening out there. And obviously, as you know, Jeff, controversy, if you can use something that gets people's attention, that's even shocking, or that might even walk the fine line between offending people or really just giving them such a harsh dose of reality, they have to pay attention. I think the worst thing you could do is to play safe and totally, you know, try to please everybody and just be the good guy and have information or say things that everyone just loves to hear, because that doesn't get people's attention, you know. The person that's willing to put himself out there or herself out there to do something different, to maybe, you know, zig when everyone else is zagging, to take the high road when everyone else is going the other direction, I think that really will separate you amongst the crowd and also raise your credibility up five notches in the eyes of your visitors and prospects and so forth. And that's exactly what I did. Is when I thought about the campaign, I thought, well, I mean, basically what was happening out there with Google and with, you know, the search engines and with a lot of these sites getting blacklisted and getting pulled off the radar literally overnight, I thought I have to somehow weave that into my whole process, because with my article marketing product, I mean, it's a legitimate way of marketing. It's old school, if you will. It's been around for years. I mean, everyone's heard the story. Articles are not new. So how could I take something that's sort of been around and isn't that exciting, really, and make it sexy and fresh and alive and put a new face on it to get people really excited about it? And I thought that I've got to do something, you know, shocking, if you will. And that's exactly what I did. The first thing I decided to do was about 3 to 3.5 weeks before the actual launch date of June the 28th, I put out a shocking report. And to make a long story short, the report basically just talked about what's happening in the search engines, how, you know, even last year you could just push a button, create a site with 9,000 pages and make yourself a bunch of money through affiliate programs or through AdSense. And, you know, those times are rapidly changing with Google cracking down and search engine spam on the rise. And, you know, you can't just push a button, throw a crappy site up with a bunch of Google vomit and expect that within 24 hours you're going to be indexed and get tons of traffic and make tons of money. We know that doesn't happen. I've been a victim of that. I know you have too, Jeff, and several of our friends have, and that's fine. So that was sort of my angle. I had to have a hook and an angle, and really what I wanted to do is to take this deep, dark side of online marketing and really just turn it inside out. And a lot of people weren't even talking about this. They were still talking and saying, buy the tools, you know, this is the gold rush happening, you got to hop on this, and, you know, just give me your credit card and we'll get the software in your hands. And I had to really, again, go the other direction without pigeonholing myself into being another quote-unquote push-button product. So I put out the shocking report. It was just loaded with, like, bam, bam, did you know, bam, did you know this, bam. You know, prepare yourself, because, you know, your site could get, you know, blacklisted next if you're violating these rules. Bang, bang, bang. I did a ton of research. I probably spent as much time putting together the shocking report as the actual sales letter for the product itself. So it took, like, you know, weeks of time and hours to get this thing right and really, you know, craft it perfectly. And it did the job. I mean, I released the report and people were like, holy crap, I wasn't aware of this, and, you know, thanks for sharing this information. And obviously, the information and the content was killer, and that's the key. There's only about a page in the whole report that actually even mentioned, oh, by the way, you know, I'm working on something very exciting, and here's the product, and if you're interested, you can get on my pre-announcement list and blah, blah, blah. Again, very, very subtle, and a small area of actual sales copy was in that. But it shifted people's mindset. I mean, they started thinking about, you know, yeah, I've got to protect my virtual assets here. I've got to, you know, start to legitimize some of my push-button sites using some of the strategies that, of course, I teach through my article marketing system. So without me blatantly clobbering over the head saying, you need to buy this product, I was slowly kind of chipping away, slowly, you know, planting a few seeds, if you will, and making those problems that may have been in the background of their mind, make them really more burning issues that hopefully they'd have to look at resolving over the next few weeks. So that was the first, I guess, stage in the launch process. And then the report got... Sorry.
Let me stop you there. Because you covered so much ground there. It was incredible. I didn't realize how fast you talk. You're just cranking along it.
Well, I've had 3 cups of coffee, so that doesn't really help. We should have this call at 10 o'clock at night. I'd be much slower.
So, okay. It's very interesting because you said you're willing to be controversial and not have to play it safe, and you mentioned be the good guy, and I know some of the people who are listening to this call will have met you, and or know you. And Jason is just happens to be like the nicest guy in the world. One of the, I mean, you see Jason and you think, wow, from across the room, you say, boy, he must be a nice guy. And then you get to know Jason, and he is just a really nice guy. But you are willing to, for this to be controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And then just for everyone who doesn't have all the context that you and I have, right now in the webmaster world and even the online marketing world, there a lot of people are putting up websites with, let's say, questionable content that and getting often seeing a quick burst of visitors, but then that quick burst of visitors will often go away. And that's what in the shocking report you're talking about is basically a report telling people that you might be going and buying these tools, putting up this questionable content, and gaining a little bit of traffic in the short run, but it's going to go away soon.
Yeah, it's good you mentioned that, because that is true. I mean, people must understand that basically that report was really focused on facts that Google released in their patent application mm-hmm. back in March of this year. And make a long story short, Google told everyone that, you know, they really heavily weigh the legitimacy and the relevancy of your site based upon several factors, which, of course, I put into the report, mainly the amount of incoming links to your site, the quality of sites that are linking to you, the type of links that you have coming to your site, and also, again, the quality of the content on your site, how long your site's been around. I mean, if you have if your site's loaded with just links or you have really good keyword-rich content on your site. So all those factors were just facts, right? I mean, I wasn't making stuff up. And I just, you know, I laid it out there in a sequential order. And obviously, I picked the issues that Google brought up that would best align themselves with my product. So, I mean, like in the sales world, I've been in sales for years, and one famous sales trainer, Mike Bosworth, says it's like lining up the bowling pins. I mean, you have all the benefits of your product, or you have all the issues that your prospect puts on the table, and it's your goal to like knock those bowling pins down one by one. And what I was doing is basically putting all these issues that Google made public, putting them in a row like bowling pins, and saying, okay, you know, you need to do this. Are you aware that Google is looking at your site using this criteria? Bam, 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 bam. And then after all of that, well, guess what? You know, you can resolve all these issues. You can kind of keep Google happy by just using, you know, this one incredible method to market your business and your website. And then I talked a bit about the article marketing system. So it really came full circle. People are hanging. They're like, oh, crap, my site's going to get killed, and I've got to do this. What do I do? And they're starting to panic, and I gave them some strategies on how to do it the quote-unquote hard way, you know, which takes a lot of time and effort. And then at the end, I wrapped it up saying, hey, you know what, if you're sort of, you know, wanting to learn more about this, or you want to resolve this, or you want to legitimize your site, or you want to Google proof your websites, well, you know, stay tuned, kind of thing. And that really got people excited and intrigued and anticipating, you know, my next step in the launch process.
I mean, it's one of my favorite sales models, especially, in sales letters I like to use it, but in anything. And I first heard this from Dan Kennedy. Now, maybe it's as old as the hills, but the model is problem, agitate, solve.
Yes.
So you set up the problem, you get them worked up about the problem, and, oh, by the way, I've got the solution. And that's what this report did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also looking at the positioning is really interesting in that if you just released your product without doing this, what you did was that you educated people. And if you just one day release the product without doing this advanced education, there's actually a good chance that people would lump your product in with all these other products that do generate questionable content. They would see you as being part of the problem instead
right.
of the solution. So the anticipation you built, you also, I mean, you used it as an educational time. Because, I mean, this strikes me as a tool, what you put out, that it's fairly complicated, and the whole story is a fairly complicated story. And if you have a complicated story, that means you have to do some serious education before you can sell it. And
true.
So this whole process you use just strikes me that it was just perfect, in that it did the problem, agitate, solve, plus it did the education, so that when you did get to selling, people actually understood what you were selling.
Yeah, and I think timing is a big factor too. I mean, this product has been on the drawing board for many, many, many months, and I was planning on releasing it early in the year. And I mean, just again, a little bit of luck and timing where Google released that patent on March, and that just gave me so much nuggets of gold I could use to weave into my report. I thought, this is awesome. I mean, the timing was just perfect. Like the skies opened up and this light shone down and said, Jason, now is the time. Don't blow this. And I had to rock and roll to make it happen. But one thing I want to mention too, though, is that I mentioned before that it took me as long to write the report, if not longer, than the actual sales letter itself. And I think that's a huge point that people miss. And like you said, Jeff, many people just get a product out there, they make a few phone calls, you know, get a few JV partners lined up, and we can talk about that process later on. And then they, you know, expect everyone to hit the send button on this day, and the results, you know, may be half decent or maybe disappointing, depending. But I think an important point to mention is that that report was such a critical point from many angles in kickstarting the whole launch and ultimately leading to the great success that it had. And that report, I mean, many people ask me, who is the copywriter you hired? Oh, did you use Mike Fortin or whatever? I mean, throwing names at me, I'm like, well, no, I mean, it was all me. But the thing is, though, is that, I mean, I consider myself a good copywriter, but it's taken me, you know, 4 years plus, probably closer to 6 years of really serious study with, you know, Dan Kennedy, Jalen Carlton, and all the other big names you've heard about to sort of help me to put, you know, the tools together to create something like that. So, I mean, people have to understand you can spend the money up front to have something like that written, or if you feel you have some even mediocre copywriting skills, spend the time and do it right. Don't just throw something together half-assed and say, oh, it's good enough. I mean, I went over this thing like, you know, hour after hour after hour, not to make it a perfect masterpiece, but I said, you know what, this is my one shot to get people out there on the train with me or have them jumping in the other direction. And if I can't get people excited and get them, you know, kind of foaming at the mouth, wanting to learn more about my product or, you know, strategies, then that essentially is the turning point right there. It's really critical.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of people, they think with these product launches, these, you know, where you do a lot of money in a short period of time, that it happens overnight. But there's always a lot of work ahead of time. But like what you did with the shocking report, and it just occurs to me that to people, it might sound funny that we keep on calling it the shocking report, but that was actually the title of the publication. But it was the shocking report. But you know, since you did such a great job in the shocking report, my sense is you really did need to do the whole idea is to make your sales letter irrelevant, and mm-hmm. I know it. I actually heard from a friend of mine who said, you know, you always talk about making that sales letter irrelevant with, you know, through the launch process. And he said, and that's exactly what Jason did. Because when I got this sales letter, I just went right to the bottom and I signed up and I hit the enter button. Didn't even look at the sales letter.
And that's true.
So, yeah.
I heard that from quite a few people. No, it's a great point. You've just done such a good job to get people trained and excited and just to get them thinking along the same lines that, as you said, many times they hit the sales letter and you've got, you know, similar verbiage, there's a similar flavor there. Some of the issues you brought up perhaps in the shocking report were peppered throughout the sales letter, and they're like, you know, they're skimming all the subheadlines, yeah, I mean, what's the price? I mean, if it's like $2,000, forget about it, but if it's, you know, a reasonable price, I mean, and that's another thing too, is that, as you know, Jeff, I mean, studies have been done again and again and again, and people do not buy on price. You may think so, you may go and buy a new washer or dryer and say, well, this is $1,000 and this is $600, but bottom line is that a price is sort of, I think, number three on the list of factors that people use to evaluate a new product. So if you've done your job, if you've, like you said, you've primed the pump, you've put the report out there, you've created such a buzz and excitement that somebody comes to the sales letter, they skim down to the bottom of the page. You know, quite often that if you've done your job correctly, the price does not become an issue. Again, within reason, if you're charging an insane amount of money, your sales will not be that great. But there's a certain sweet spot there. But I mean, even often I've found that if you raise the price $100 or raise it $150 in many cases, if there's enough value there, it's not going to have a massive downward impact on your sales because you've done things correctly ahead of time.
So Jason, I just had a brain flash here. Have you seen the new leaked report from Google that about them hiring people on an hourly basis, you know, university students worldwide to police their rankings?
Somebody mentioned that to me.
And supposedly it came out. It's actually not an official Google publication. Supposedly it was leaked. And I've actually seen it, and there's actually quite a bit of debate whether it really did come from Google or not.
Right.
And it's supposedly unauthorized, that someone got a hold of this and leaked it. And it's pretty interesting, and I have no opinion whether it's really, whether it's true or a fake, but even if it's a fake, if you look at the guidelines in there, it's got good guidelines for anyone building a site and wanting to avoid penalties. And you might want to track that down, and I'm sure I can find a link for you if you don't have it, and I'll send it to you afterwards.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
If you sent out a second shocking report, a shocking report update, and just talked to, went through this report and gave your, since you're now viewed as an expert on this, since you already put out one shocking report and you told people all about this stuff, this would be a natural follow-up. And, if I were you, I probably wouldn't spend as much time doing the second shocking report, but
right.
I'd do an update based on this and say, you can point back to your original shocking report, and it's like, this is right in line with what we've already talked about, already done. And, and this is my conclusions here, here, and here. And, boy, at the bottom of that, if I were you, I'd put in a link to Article Announcer. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even put in any sales copy whatsoever.
Right. Because
by this point, people have already seen the shocking report, and they already, they thought it was great, but they know it led into something. This time, it almost makes that more legitimate, I think, just having a one-line link at the bottom to Article Announcer. And I bet you'd get a little surge from that. And if nothing else, you'd get a lot of people talking about you. So I'll send you a link to that after we get off the line.
Yeah, please do. That's awesome.
I think the positioning would be great for you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and that's the thing I think people have to also take to heart, that once the dust settles and the launch is over, of course you feel beat up and bruised and battered, because it's a lot of work in the process. And I'm even 2 weeks after my launch right now, I'm still fighting battles and sort of have scars to prove it. But hey, it's a good thing when you're making lots of money and everything, so you can't really complain about it. It just comes with the territory. Do you want me to talk about, we talked about the shocking report, which is the first sort of initial push. There's a few other points I can mention as well, moving forward towards the launch date. You want to go into those now?
Well, yeah, but I think you're going to cover it anyways. But I want to talk about how you got that shocking report, how you got wide distribution on that.
Okay.
I think it's important.
Very, very good point. One of the things, obviously, that was a key component in my mind in terms of the whole strategy of the launch and everything was getting maximum coverage, going wide and deep, and getting this report onto every hard drive, on the internet, ultimately, which that's your ultimate goal. And one of the things that, luckily, my background has always been sales and marketing, business development, so I'm in my element when I'm at an event and I'm talking to people and we're chatting and we're schmoozing and that kind of thing and having a few laughs and discussing some business. That's really where I tend to shine. I love networking. And when I got involved in the internet marketing scene, I went to my first seminar, and naturally, for me, I felt like, again, I was in my element, meeting people, shaking hands, talking about their business, understanding what they're doing, and trying to find some alliances, potential partnerships, and that sort of thing. And that happened, probably two and a half years ago. I first went to my first seminar, and I think that actually you and I, Jeff, met probably about 2 years ago, again, at a seminar. I didn't know who you were, you didn't know who I was, and just, either sitting beside each other at the seminar or just kind of chatting amongst friends. Hey, by the way, have you met Jason? Jason, have you met Jeff? No, and you got chatting. We kind of hit it off right away and maintained a friendship since that day. But that's how things really started. So not to say that people have to, go to seminars in their industry or take 2 years to develop the relationships, but I think it's really the missing link with a lot of product launches that I see, especially with people who come on strong and they, new name, new face, no one's ever heard of them before, and they try to just ambush everybody, and I call it pit bull marketing. It's sort of like, you're like a pit bull attacking these other players in the industry and grabbing onto their pant leg and saying, can you please promote my product? Please promote my product. Here's a copy. And for the most part, they're just going to shake you loose and kick you away as fast as possible. And I get the same requests. People just, because I have a following now. I have a large opt-in list, and I can obviously move some product for people if it's in tune with what my customers and subscribers want. They just email me, and like, Jason, I got this new product, and it's like five paragraphs of just rambling about how great the product is and how they spent a year to develop it, and how, here you go, here's a link, you can look at it, and that's probably step number four in the process of building relationships and of really grooming your network of people. So, I mean, what I did, and which is not something exclusive to me, I don't have like this master plan that I invented. And you'll find a lot of parallels between what I've done and what you've done and with a lot of our peers and colleagues who've had really successful launches and big paydays, is that you start developing those relationships early, well before the product launch. Not necessarily 2 years. It could be several months beforehand. And that doesn't mean just collecting an email list of the top 25 players in your industry and then just emailing the hell out of them for the next 3 months. I'm talking about getting on a phone. I'm talking about calling and just talking to people, getting to know them, hopefully developing some trust and credibility along the way, getting some mind share, developing that foundation of at least a bit of a relationship before you start saying, hey, by the way, I'm putting something together. I'd love you to take a look at it. We're launching on this date. It's 4 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. Please kick it around, put it through the paces, and let me know if this is something you think would be of value to your customers and subscribers. If so, I'd love to work with you, and here's what we're putting together, 50% commission, blah, 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 that sort of thing. And again, that's like number fourth step in the process. You really have to go through and start. I compare it to dating, really, because anybody that's married or has any long-term relationships can agree. You don't just go to a restaurant one day and see somebody across a crowded room and then walk up to them and say, do you want to marry me? That can happen, obviously, but there's a certain phase, a courting phase, you meet, you go for drinks, you meet the next week, go for dinner, and slowly you become closer, you might get a first kiss, but there's a definite process you go through to eventually maybe even get married or be involved in a long-term relationship. And I find that with my joint venture partners and my super affiliates, it's much the same phase, where there's a bit of a courting phase and a bonding and relationship building phase. And then in my case, when it came ready for me to launch the Shocking Report, because I'd gone through that process already, I had literally 30 or 40 people who had influence in the industry, were respected authorities, who had good-sized customer lists that were responsive, and were people I knew that I'd want to do business with and had the same morals and ethics as I did. They weren't spammers or just trying to sell get-rich-quick type programs. People I respected, and I wanted them to obviously promote my product because I believed in them and what they could bring to the table. And of course, let's be honest, they can make a lot of money, which is the number one goal of any affiliate, is to make a lot of cash. So by going through that process, I handpicked my partners and I called almost all of them. And the other ones I emailed a few times to make sure that they were on board. I explained what we were doing. I put the Shocking Report out there and I said, look, you can brand this with your affiliate link. So it's not a sales letter. People aren't going to be upset because you just sent them a blatant sales pitch. However, they will be cookied when they get the report. And in plain English, that means that when you read the report, you click on the link to opt into the priority announcement list, or if you just get the report and leave it alone. At some point down the road, if you ever visit the articleannouncer.com site and order, well, because my affiliate system tracks who the person was that referred them to the order page, and if they order, it automatically can track a commission and give it back to the referring affiliate. So they get a nice commission of about $150 for every sale that they refer. And I found that the response was positive because they weren't just sending people to a sales page. They were providing, as you said, Jeff, good quality content, good information that they could feel good about extending to their subscribers and readers and valued customers, and not feel sleazy or feel like, oh, this is just such a greasy sales pitch. I don't feel comfortable, throwing this on my customers. They felt genuinely good because if nothing more, if you put the Shocking Report away and you deleted it, you got a real good lesson in some of the do's and don'ts of search engine optimization and what Google's looking for. So regardless of whether or not you go to the next level, there was good quality content and it was worth your time to spend the 5 minutes, read the report and feel, hey, that was cool. I got some really good tips out of that. It was of a value, if nothing more. So yeah, that was an important point, just really developing that network of JV partnerships and affiliates. It was really a major key to the success of this launch, because if I had like five people hitting the send button, I might have sold a couple of grand worth of product and that's about it. So it's a huge part of the process, and I think that people really need to spend some time. And if they're excited about launching the product, about jumping the gun, about putting the launch date on the board, I would caution people, delay that launch date even a month or two if you have to, and just make sure you are building that network of relationships so that when you do get to the launch date, you're going to have a couple dozen partners, if not more, ready to stand behind you, press the send button, and then bam, just blow it out of the water.
So your flowchart was you got a shocking report, and then that shocking report drove people to a priority announcement list.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of in the middle there, giving you distribution on the shocking report was a bunch of JV partners who had...
Well, they had massive lists of customers, subscribers, and relationships where I knew that if I got them involved, they could have a massive influence over, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that would be on the other end of the emails they were sending out. And to me, that's extremely powerful.
Yeah. And so I got it. You had a branded PDF.
Yes.
That's the word I was drawing a blank on. You had a branded PDF so that when they sent that PDF to their subscribers, that introduced those people and basically it tracked them so mm-hmm. that they were able to, then if they generated a sale through the distribution of that PDF, then they were going to get credit for it. So, I mean, it's wonderful because instead of just giving your JV partners an email to a sales pitch to blast it to their list, you gave them content to send to their list. And that content was quality content. It helped people, and it also introduced them into your sales process.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a wonderful, wonderful way to do that. So approximately how long before your launch date did the shocking report get released?
It was approximately 3.5 weeks before the launch date. That's when I sent it out to everybody and got my partners to do the same thing.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then are you willing to share how many people you drove to your announcement list?
Yeah, in total, I would say between my own camp and my affiliates, I had just over 3,000 people that were on those priority announcement lists.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, that's... And then did you send... The people on that priority announcement list, did you send anything to them... like after they joined, so some of them joined 3.5 weeks before your launch date. Did they get anything on that list?
Yeah, that's a good point. I saw what was happening out there with previous launches with you know, good friends of ours, and I'm sure you've interviewed a few of them within this product. And I saw what they were doing, and a lot of them are just sending people to a priority announcement list page to opt in. And basically the call to action was that, hey, the product's coming out. If you're interested in learning more about the product, get on the list. And in my eyes, I thought, well, I've got to, quote unquote, like sell them and entice them to, you know, give up their email address. Don't assume that someone's going to say, oh, yeah, I'd love to get a strong, you know, pitch from you over the next few weeks on your product again. I thought you got to do something to just dangle the carrot a little bit more in front of their face. So what I did is I said, yes, you can be on the priority announcement list, and here's the link. And also, what's waiting for you on the other end of the opt-in page is I had two more reports that I put out, and essentially they were two articles. And of course, I'd be a bit of a dummy if I didn't have articles incorporated into my launch process, because my course tells you how to use articles to market your business or website, right? Mm-hmm. So this report essentially was actually one report with two, you know, long articles. And the articles just talked a bit more about, again, some of the strategies you should be thinking about to, you know, get links to your site, to put quality content out there. Just expanding upon the issues or the problem, as you said, and the agitation that I put out there in the shocking report. This second report provided some of the solutions, and not even solutions where, oh, you need to use my product to do this. I gave them the long, tedious, time-consuming way to solve the problem, and people are probably thinking, geez, this is just, I can't spend the amount of time to do this. This is just too labor-intensive. So they got the solution. So, you know, they were happy. I wasn't, like, playing any games and hiding the solution behind the product. I was like, look, here's what you have to do. And then, again, at the end of that report, I said, well, you know, if all this sounds like too much work and you'd rather not take a week to make this happen, once again, you'll be excited to know that the product I have coming out, Article Announcer, will help to alleviate a lot of these issues with manual submissions and that kind of thing, and save you time and give you more time with your family, blah, 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 blah. So again, it just repositioned what I said before in the shocking report that you got to stay tuned for the announcement coming out shortly, and made them aware of the launch date and that sort of thing. So they got on the list, and also they got those two reports to hopefully, again, it was good content, just to hopefully get me a little bit further along in the sales process, maybe put me a little bit higher of a priority, and hopefully position myself so that, as you said, Jeff, when the launch date came, they already read so much good stuff, they were already chomping at the bit, that when they get that link, it's just like, bam, it's like a bass, you know, hitting bait. Just they just grab it, and they want it right away. And actually, that's what happened within the first hour of the launch. It just went absolutely insane, so it definitely worked.
Mm. What was the timing on those additional reports?
I I'm trying to think now. I launched the Shocking Report, and I had the reports like 90% done, and I wanted to massage them. So what I put in the Shocking Report and on the priority announcement list opt-in page, I said, you know, I'm almost finished these two reports. I'm just finalizing them, and they'll be, I'll send them out like in a few days sort of thing. And I thought this way it kind of gives people something to look forward to. And I thought, I'm dangling the carrot. I'm not just giving it to them. I'm like, well, you know what? It's coming. Just wait. And on that list, I think it took me like about 4 or 5 days by the time I got around to getting it wrapped up. And nobody was complaining. But in the meantime, I sent them an email or two saying, hey, just so you know, you're on the list. And the reports, I'm working on them. But I found a few facts last minute I really wanted to incorporate into the report. And bear with me. I appreciate your patience. And then I released the report shortly after that. And that bought me some time as well. So it wasn't like, bam, 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 here's all the information, and then just have dead air for like, 2 weeks or so. Right. It was like, bam, Shocking Report, and let that sit for a few days, and then, bam, by the way, I'm still working on the reports, I appreciate your patience. And then after, again, 5 days, and by the time everybody got the reports, probably a week. So that kind of just, again, it kind of gave me another week of momentum for people waiting and anticipating and wanting to get just more information to sink their teeth into.
Yep. Lots of good things here. Like, for instance, from what you said, when they got to the opt-in page, basically the sales page that sells them on joining the priority announcement list, you had a reason why for them to join besides just learning about this product. You're also going to send them a report.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm thinking through the logic. It's like, okay, they've read your Shocking Report. They click through. They're still, some of them aren't necessarily sold on giving you their email address. They get to something where you're essentially asking them to give their email address so you can send them a sales pitch. But they've gotten there from reading a report, and at that point you're saying, I'm going to give you another couple reports. And so, I mean, it's beautiful because part of this launch process, I think, is getting people involved in your sales material before they realize it, before mm-hmm. their defense mechanisms are up. And so you're basically, they get there and you're selling them and getting more free information. And I could see how that'd be very effective. I bet your opt-in rate was astronomical on that page.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, but again, another thing I'm thinking, sometimes the, and I'm sorry if I'm just beating you over the head with this stuff, because I like to get the sequences down, because I think people often mess those up, and they're often intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Shocking Report, that didn't go out to everyone in the world in one day. That got passed along, and people, they didn't all opt in 3.5 weeks ahead of time.
Some exactly.
Some of them opted in 3.5 weeks ahead of time. Some of them didn't get it for another week, and some of them didn't open it up on their hard drive for another week. And I'm sure 2 weeks after that Shocking Report was released, you're still having people opt in.
And I still am today. A person emailed me, and I took down one of the video links, I think it was, and they're like, they said, where's that video link? I got the Shocking Report. And I'm like, all right, well, we're 2 weeks after the fact now, and they're still emailing me. So, yeah, it's still slowly trickling and getting passed around, that kind of thing. So it happens, right?
And so, like, if someone went and joined that list now, would they still get those extra bonus reports? Is that, like, built into an autoresponder?
Yeah, it's all built in autoresponder. And one thing I did, just so you know, very, very important, because you don't want to piss off your affiliates, excuse my language, but basically you want to have two different identical sort of opt-in forms, but one basically sends your customers to an opt-in form, meaning your customers have bought from you, and they're your customers, so obviously you don't have to pass a link to an affiliate, because the people that bought from you, they've been on your list for a while, and they're your customers. No one's referred them to you for this particular product sale, so I kept that separate, my own customers, from the other general traffic I was getting through my subscriber list, who often were referred through my affiliates, or my other affiliates, who obviously people were cookied on their list. And the difference is, it's critical, is when I sent out the email follow-ups or I sent out other reports to my subscriber list, the report was often different from the affiliate list, because with my affiliates, anytime I gave a link to the product or anything else at all, it was just a straight link. It was www.articleanswer.com, and there was no other tracking or any kind of a script built into that. So basically, what I told my affiliates is that when you send somebody to this priority announcement list, or if they download a report through your referral, they will only get straight links to the website, which means that there's no way of this person not getting credit for the sale because I'm not using any kind of, again, redirects or tracking scripts or anything. And that just makes your affiliates feel comfortable knowing that you're not going to take candy from your mouth. And we've all heard horror stories about, you know, people doing product launches and then once they get a customer, once they get a prospect, then they send them their own affiliate links so they can recoup more commissions. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but, you know, once bitten, twice shy. So I'm just telling people to be completely straight and open and honest with people. And one thing I told my affiliates too, I said, look, if you promote people to get onto this priority announcement list and you promote the Shocking Report and everything else, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to build a list of 3,000 people that you sent my way. I mean, these are your valued customers and subscribers, and I'm obviously just riding off your back and having you send me these people. What I will not do, and it's a personal promise I made to all my affiliates, I will not, you know, hammer this list for months and months and months and promote every product under the sun to that list, because obviously my affiliates, who are my bread and butter, my lifeblood, my partners, I'm just basically stabbing them in the back. And that happens more often than you imagine, where people refer, you know, subscribers to you, and you assume that now you own them. They're your subscribers. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, your affiliate partners, some of their best and most responsive subscribers and customers, opted on your list, and now you're basically, again, just stabbing your affiliate partners in the back by promoting seminars and high-ticket items and earning a commission off of those subscribers at your affiliate's expense. So it's an important point. You got to just make sure you're clear about that and your affiliates are comfortable, especially if there's not a real relationship there. They don't know who you are, what you're going to do. Just be open and tell people, look, you can trust that this is going to happen this way, and here's why. And just lay it out there, and that's going to make people more comfortable promoting your stuff, knowing that you're legitimate, you're an honest guy or girl, your cards are on the table, and there's no funny games here. And they're not going to get cheated out of commissions because you're playing funny stuff in the background.
Mm-hmm. You covered a whole bunch of good stuff there. One, you know, you obviously had the intention that you wanted to take care of them. Two, you got to communicate with them and tell them how you're going to take care of them, and how you're not going to steal from them, basically. And three, you have to spend some time thinking about it and making sure that you don't accidentally, you know, take the candy out of their mouth. That mm-hmm. you think through the mechanics, and you cross your T's and you dot your I's so that you're not accidentally overwriting their cookie. You're accidentally redirecting them away from an affiliate link. So. Yeah, you really have to, you know, you need to treat them well. If you don't, you're not going to ever have a second good launch. And then beyond that, you have to communicate how you're treating them well, and then you really have to make sure you get the mechanics down right.
Well, and I had some people who even told me just straight up and said, Jason, are you planning on using a name squeeze on this page? Name squeeze basically means that you go to the website and it says, hey, I'm glad you clicked on the link and blah, 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 blah. If you put your name and email address in here, we'll show you, you know, bullet one, bullet two, bullet two, here are the benefits. It's a mini sales letter, kind of more or less priming the pump and convincing them on why they should actually give their information to you to essentially get to the sales page. I mean, some people might think it's crazy, but it actually does work. It's an effective strategy in several markets. But and many of my affiliates were like, look, are you planning to use a name squeeze? If you are, we are not going to promote this product. Second question, are you planning on putting up a hover pop-up or an exit pop or right into the sales copy, putting in an opt-in box to get a mini course or free report or something like that? Because if you do, and I had like five big affiliates say, if you do that, we are not going to send you a flood of traffic and have you build your list, you know, at our expense. We're not going to do that. And, you know, I mean, I respect them and I respect their wishes, and obviously I want them to promote the product. And quite honestly, at this point in time, especially initially, it's worth more to me to get them pushing mega quality traffic to the site and pumping thousands of more dollars, you know, into my merchant account than to get an extra 100 or 1,000 subscribers on my opt-in list, you know, and lose them as partners because they won't promote it. So, again, not to beat this to death, but you just really need to understand the sensitivity and the issues and some of the concerns about your affiliate partners before you go ahead and orchestrate the launch process.
Yeah, and they were asking those questions. That was in relation to the final sales letter page.
That's right, yes.
Okay, so they wanted to make sure you weren't just put up a sales letter and possibly compromising the sales letter just to build your list. So in other words, if they send someone, just to make this really clear for people who might not be following, if you put up a sales letter and then had somewhere in that sales letter the opportunity to opt in to join your list, then you would essentially be building your list from traffic that people sent to your site trying to get a sale. And, you know, I mean, some people might even go so far as to compromise their sales process just to get the opt-ins. In that case, you're really taking advantage of your joint venture partner's list.
And exactly.
So they, ahead of time, they wanted to clarify that you weren't going to do that.
Right.
Fantastic. So, walking forward then, through your launch process, you did the Shocker report, you put out a couple additional reports, and then now at this point, I guess you're getting really close to that launch date. Bring us up to speed on that.
Shocker report, a couple of reports came in afterwards. Affiliates are still promoting this thing. It hasn't stopped. It's growing, as you said, even after the launch date, still, you know, getting people opting into that pre-announcement list, if you will. And after the reports, I thought, okay, what's next here? And I thought, well, I could do a teleseminar. And I thought, you know, especially in our marketplace and the online marketing crowd, it's sort of like, you know, teleseminar overload. I mean, everyone's doing free teleseminars, you know, come listen to this guru, blah, 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 blah. And in most cases, it's, you know, exactly that you get on the line for an hour and it's some half-decent content, maybe some decent content. But you know that as you draw to the one-hour mark, usually at about the 50-minute mark, it's like, you know, here comes the pitch, kaboom. And people are often, you know, they know it's coming. They're not, you know, virgins, if you will, where they're just, it's the first time they've been on the conference line. It's all new to them. I mean, these people are seasoned marketers. They know the game. They know the drill. You're not fooling anybody. So I said, well, I can play that game and try to pretend, oh, we're going to spend an hour with Jason Potash, and I'm going to be interviewed by this person, and we're going to be talking about this. And many people, you know, will just want to get the audio download anyway and say, you know what, I don't have time for this. I got things to do. I'll just get the MP3. So I thought, well, I could do that, or I could do something a little bit different. And ultimately, in my mind, and it's kind of weird how none of this stuff was really clearly orchestrated 100% before the launch. I mean, the Shocking Report was, and the two other reports were, but after that, though, it's kind of a bit of a gray area on what should I do next. And I decided to not do the teleseminar. I said, I'm going to do something different that no one's really doing. And I thought, ultimately, what are people looking for? I mean, they're not looking at me, you know, pounding my own chest, saying how great articles are and how, you know, they can do wonderful things for you and unleash instant traffic, which they can. But I go, of course, I'm biased. Let's be honest. I'm selling a product. I'm a marketer. I'm a salesperson. And people are often skeptical because if I tell you this is the way it is and this is how great it is, and obviously I'm there's financial gain in me, you know, saying that to you. So it's sort of a weird position to be in. So I thought, well, let's not do that. And what do people ultimately want? I mean, I gave them the facts. I gave them the stats. I gave them the unsalted truth, as I call it. Open wide, let me just put this in your mouth, and it tastes awful, but it's the truth, and the truth hurts often. And of course, I already got their mind shift in terms of thinking about how to possibly overcome the issues and hurdles through Google. And I thought, I gave them some tidbits of information on how to use articles and the right way to position articles and how to improve your link popularity and boost your rankings. And again, I gave them a solution, but obviously it was a very difficult and convoluted and time-consuming solution. And my product obviously gave them the quick, easy, simple solution that would save them a lot of time and so forth. But I thought to myself, there's a missing piece in the puzzle. I mean, people are just eternally skeptical. They don't believe a word coming out of your mouth, especially, you know, any marketer says, you know, here's the way it is, and hey, look what I did. Look how great I am. And people say, well, that's wonderful because you're an expert and you've been doing this for years, but I'm a search engine dummy. I can barely click a mouse, you know, to open up a window. So we're not in the same category as a lot of people. We're not on a pedestal, but, you know, we're not in the same category with every single prospect that might be an ideal candidate for our product. So, I mean, bottom line, I think the missing component was proof, huge, you know, social proof, and this proof that this stuff works. And I thought, well, rather than have me go through my sites and go through my stats and once again just you know, thump my own chest and tell people how great articles are, I thought I've got to get, you know, somebody to basically open up and give their story and just to verify that what I'm saying is totally legitimate, hear it from a third party who has no, you know, affiliation with me. It's not my brother-in-law or my uncle or whatever. It's not some person I paid money to get on a phone line. It's just an quote-unquote average guy, and that's the slogan I use, you know, how an average guy or an average girl, for that matter, can make this stuff work without any special skills or any kind of, you know, search engine know-how, how anybody can just use the strategies, put them into place, and make it happen. And so I thought, I've got to get this person and do an interview with them and just hear it right from the horse's mouth. So, I mean, luckily, I stumbled upon a past customer of mine, and he emailed me. I mean, it's amazing how things fall together, as I said, Jeff, in the final moment. He emailed me, like, right about the time I was releasing the shocking report and said, hey, Jason, you know, I've been using your strategies, and we exchanged a few emails, and he's like, your stuff is awesome, and here's what I did in, like, a couple of weeks. And just, he had all these, like, stats about how he dropped his Google AdWords, and he was only using articles to drive traffic, and he had, like, for certain keyword phrases, he had positioned, like, 3, 5, 6, 7, 9 in Google, and he was getting as much traffic now, just naturally, organically, through the search engines, through his articles being picked up by the engines and ranked. He was getting more traffic now, even the same traffic, as he was with the pay-per-clicks, paying money within Google to get traffic. So I was like, this is awesome. I mean, we talked on the phone. He's a down-to-earth, you know, family man, great guy, just, you know, kind of, you know, talks a little slow, which is awesome. Just, that's what I needed. I needed someone who was real, not some person who was like, yes, Jason, well, articles are an unbelievable strategy. I found my traffic. You know, I didn't want to have some, you know, talking robot on the line. I needed someone who was quote-unquote real. So he agreed to do an interview with me, and we went through his product and went through his site and how he got started with articles and the process. And again, it just basically backed up what I was telling people anyway through the reports that were released and so forth on why he's using articles and what has happened. And he gave some real tangible results on, here are my sales, and here's my sales conversion on my webpage, and here's the amount of visitors I'm getting per day, and here's what I was spending on pay-per-click advertising. So again, it's just, you're talking about the bowling pins, Jeff, we talked about earlier. Well, I mean, any objections or skepticism or doubts in the mind of my prospects were just like, okay, bam, it won't cost you a dime. Okay, bam, we're getting quality traffic. Okay, bam, here are my sales. You know, just knocking them down. And it's not me telling people. It was a third party who, again, has no relationship to me, telling them that. And I took that little MP3 audio clip. It was like a 30-minute interview. And again, I know people have short attention spans. To get on to listen to a 90-minute recording sometimes, it's like some people rather get a root canal than go through that process. They don't have the time. They don't have the patience. Everyone's just on internet time. It's like bang, 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 bang. Got to get stuff done. Half an hour to me was sort of an ideal, you know, time frame that's easy to absorb. And if you're driving to work, maybe half an hour, you're, you know, driving, whatever, get some groceries, you might spend half an hour in the car. And I, instead of just sending the link out to people and saying, hey, here's the interview, go check it out now, I used a strategy that actually you gave me, Jeff. Actually, you and my friend John Reese also mentioned this, is actually incorporating a blog somehow into the whole process. And I thought, beautiful, I'll just put this audio interview into my blog and actually send traffic to my blog rather than say, here's the audio link, download it, and then they just get the audio and then nothing else, you know, appears on their screen. So I put the blog up there, and it was basically a Q&A blog about articles and article marketing and all that kind of stuff. And this little audio interview was my first real, you know, entry in the blog. And basically, you know, in the blog, I mentioned the person and I kind of really got them intrigued about why they should, again, reasons why that you talked about earlier, Jeff, reasons why they should listen to this audio clip and some of the things they will learn and some of the amazing results this person had experienced. And what I did is then I basically took the blog and through my affiliate tracking script, I enabled that blog, which was not on my sales page. It was like a totally new URL that no one has heard of, and it was. And the one thing too I did is that I didn't want to put it on a page, for example, 123.com/blog, because you know people will chop off the blog and go to 123.com to see what's going on. Well, unlucky for them, that blog where the site was hosted on, if they chopped off the /blog and went right to the .com. It just said coming soon, and it wasn't like articleannouncer.com. It was actually a company site I'll be setting up soon, which is joltinc.com. Short URL, easy to type in, easy to remember. It won't get cut off in an email, very, very short. And again, I'm not distracting people in terms of their focus, because as you know, people are curious like nothing else. They'll go to that site. If I have all my products listed on joltinc.com, they're going to go there and start poking around and going, oh, this is kind of cool. And before you know it, I've totally just side-railed their attention and any momentum I had, because they're, you know, they're curious and they're click happy. So I want to keep them laser focused on only this blog and this interview and nothing else. And again, I'm keeping the product held back where they're not saying, oh, okay, article announcer, bestproductintheworld.com, what could this be? Gee, I wonder. There's no mention of the product in the process. Once again, so people aren't being skeptical, not thinking, okay, this audio interview is probably going to be a big, huge sales pitch. And in the audio interview, there was no sales pitch. I think I might at the end mention like 60 seconds that this fellow interviewed, I followed my strategies and principles. I gave him a copy of the software and he was having great success with it. And stay tuned for more details as we approach the 28th of June. And what I did is that I gave all my affiliates their personal affiliate link to send people to the blog. So once again, they already sent out the shocking report to their customers and subscribers. There's great value, great content, no sales pitches, so customers aren't going to get angry or jaded because you're clobbering them on the head with a sales letter. And that worked real well for people. And then after that, I mean, a week and a half after, it was like, oh, by the way, you got to check out this blog post. My buddy Jason Potash just put up an interview, and I'm blown away at the results this person achieved using this, seldom used marketing strategy. Click here to check it out now. And that link was their affiliate link. So once again, it's another chance for my affiliates to cookie people. And as we said earlier, cookie means that they tag them as the referral. And I had like thousands of people hitting that blog and downloading the audio, and I got great comments on it. And what it started, though, and you got me thinking about this, Jeff, was opening up a dialogue with these prospects. They had questions. They had concerns. I mean, some just came right out and just told me, why is this true, or why are the results different today? And explain to us why this happened. And something else, just not to go back too far, but something else I did, which I didn't mention, is that in the second report I released, which was actually two articles, I had a video in that, very important. I had a video, a Camtasia video, embedded into that report. And the reason why, again, proof. I've told people how great article marketing is, how I can balloon their traffic and get inbound links and ultimately make them more money. And I know many people are like, yeah, whatever, sure, another marketing scam or technique that is short-lived. So what I did is that months and months before I even thought about the process of launching it, I created a video diary, if you will, and basically it showed me using the same strategies that I'm talking to people about, and I'm preaching to them and telling them they work. And it was kind of like a reality TV type video where I check in on a certain day. I'd say, hey, today is like March the 15th. I'd go to CNN.com and verify the date. And the video is still live. If people want to go to articleannouncer.com, it's still actually there on the sales page, and it's been really effective. And I took them through a timeline over a series of actually a couple months, and I showed my links growing on my site. I showed how I was getting more traffic. It was all unfolding before their eyes. So really, they could see me going through the process that I was talking to them about, and it was giving them proof that this stuff actually works and that I did it. And that video got, again, a lot of positive response. Also got a lot of feedback, as people were just still not totally convinced. And they had questions, and they were poking and prodding me and wanting to know more. And, some people are so analysts, Jeff, they overanalyze anything. It's analysis paralysis to the nth degree, and just cracking it open and having questions. But that was awesome, because I needed those people who normally wouldn't speak up. They'd kind of just sit back and go, this is a load of crap, and this isn't as rosy as it seems. Well, they were actually posting questions to the blog now and saying, well, Jason, why did this happen? How come today your links are down, or how come this? And I had a chance to openly, without hiding behind a rock or trying to, avoid these bullets, openly just step up and say, yeah, good question. Here's why that happened. Boom, 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 boom. So the questions came in about the audio. I put the video link also on the blog. So people now who are just going to the audio link, they saw another post saying, hey, have you seen my shocking video? Click here as I unleash 3,920 inward links to my website and have, again, same amount of sites picking up my article within a couple of months by me spending literally an hour of work, you know, and click here to find out how it happened and to see, you know, me go through the process right before your very eyes. It was shocking to most people. They're like, holy crap, this is unbelievable. They just, they were blown away. So again, just more proof on the table, the audio, the video. And once that happened, that just really kickstarted things, and people started submitting questions, and I was submitting answers. I spent a lot of time in the blog, and the cool thing is, and again, we talked about this before the launch, Jeff, was that many people who, you know, are intimidated or shy to jump in and ask a question, they'll go to the blog and they'll just start reading stuff, and they'll read questions other people have brought to the table, and those are perhaps the same objections and the same, you know, skepticism that they have. And once they read, you know, somebody else asking a question, and they read my response, which is open, it's totally direct, I'm not avoiding anything, I'm not dancing in circles, that again just hopefully moves me up a few notches within, you know, credibility, and within them being more qualified to actually buy the product. So I think that was really a critical element, is to just put it in the blog. And there was some, you know, negative posts up there, and that's fine, because I think if everything looks great and rosy and wonderful, that in itself is sort of skeptical, because, well, why are these posts all like, yeah, Jason, this is awesome, and you're amazing, articles rule, I can't wait for the product. I mean, we had some posts like that, which are great, but, you know, I could have got my brother, or it could have got you, Jeff, to make posts like that. And people in certain markets are very skeptical. So with the blog, we had, I think even today, if I do a rough count, we had probably about 40 posts in total that came up. So a good amount of posts, and I'm still getting posts today. I mean, you know, once every 5 days or something. And a lot of times now it's support related, like, hey, you know, is the product still available or whatever, that kind of thing. But I think it really helped to just kind of stoke the fire, if you will. And then when the blog was released, I think it was actually a week before the actual launch date. So then I kind of let things trickle, let my affiliates promote the blog. And then, of course, you know, all those priority announcement lists and everything else, my affiliates were all ready to go for the June 28th launch. And then, boom, we just, you know, hammered it home. And obviously, we sold out in 24 hours, which was totally well beyond my expectations. That was another quote-unquote shocker. But this time, I got the shocker as opposed to delivering the shocking news or the shocking report. I got the shocking sales stats saying, oh my Lord, we're out of stock in 24 hours, which is not necessarily a good thing, but obviously a quote-unquote good problem to have in the grand scheme of things, where you're scrambling, trying to get product, you know, keep customers happy and keep things on the rails. So That's basically it. If you want to dive into anything in more particular or go off on a tangent, I mean, let me know. But that's essentially the process, you know, broken down for you step by step that I followed.
Yeah, that's a fantastic process, because everything was congruent. Everything led right into each other, and that's beautiful. And the other thing that I've stressed throughout all the material I've put together is, you know, I always go into this with a plan. And, you know, my plan would be like your PDF report, and you sort of know what you're going to follow all that up.
In the video, I had the video done ahead of time. I knew I'd use it, but I wasn't sure when I would plug that video in. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you get into these processes, and you start, basically it starts a conversation, a dialogue with your market.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you know what the pieces are going to be, but exactly how you're going to lay them out and exact timing is often, you know, is something that evolves as you get into these launches. So you have to be somewhat flexible, and you have to be willing to trust that, you know, the right time is going to show up for you, and, you know, all the, you know, like this person showing up for you, where you did the average person interview, that was fortuitous, but something like that, in my experience, always does turn up for you, and then getting the timing right. Well, if you got the right material, it doesn't have to be perfect timing.
And, mm-hmm.
And this is just all so congruent and just work together for you.
That's the first half of my interview with Jason Potash. Be sure to continue on to disc 2 and listen to the second half.